Now to the continuing fallout from the central bank's decision to fine Davy stockbrokers more than €4 million for breaching market rules. This record fine follows an investigation in which it was found that a consortium of 16 Davy employees, including senior executives, bought bonds from a client without their involvement in the deal being revealed. The central bank found that in allowing the transaction to go ahead, Davy had acted in a reckless manner. It also said that when it contacted Davy, the firm provided vague and misleading details. The Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, said Davy's behaviour fell gravely short of expected standards. And the Minister joins us now on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
You asked Davy yesterday to issue a public statement on what had happened. They haven't. Are they ignoring you?
Well, I was echoing yesterday the key points that were made in the central bank report. The report detailed a level of behaviour that falls significantly short of the standards that we expect during a period of time in which we were dealing with the aftermath of the last financial crisis. The level of investigation the central bank have implemented, the scale of the fine, all that speaks for itself. And I do believe it is appropriate that this is added to by a public recognition from Davies. They need to reflect, as I'm sure they are, on the statement yesterday from the central bank.
The company was fined more than €4 million, but we don't know if any of those involved in the deal at the heart of this were sanctioned in any way. Do you know?
Well, we have to reflect again on what has happened yesterday. This is an investigation that has been carried out by an independent regulator of the Department of Finance and of the government. It demonstrates the value of having a strong framework in place to deal with lapses in behaviour that have very, very serious consequences in a part of our economy that is well regulated. And that's the context to the answer I'm going to give to your question. I'm not privy to the exact details that have underpinned the investigation by the central bank, nor should I. And it is up to the central bank to decide what information they want to make available publicly. And they issued a very lengthy statement on this matter yesterday.
Given though the seriousness of this, surely you'd like to know whether the people involved in it were sanctioned?
Well, the central bank have indicated the sanction that they believe is appropriate for this matter, and they have laid out a fine that is unprecedented in its scale, and they made a statement that does reflect the gravity of the situation. And as serious a matter as this is, it is still very important to respect due process, to say that if we do want these matters to be well regulated, well investigated, and done so by an independent institution, that we then allow that to happen and we respect the consequences of that investigation and conclusion when that happens.
Yeah, but officially the names of those involved haven't been released either. So should they be?
Just to finish off answering your other question, that I'm happy just to deal with that one too. The central bank have dealt with this matter in a very, very serious manner, and it's appropriate that I underline that and underline the gravity of the investigation they've carried out.
So officially, the names, as I say, of those involved in this haven't been released, even though some do appear in this morning's newspapers. I mean, should those names be released?
And that is a matter for the regulator who's carrying out the investigation in relation to this. I am aware that some names have been, as you've just said, referenced in the public arena today. It's not appropriate that I speculate in relation to that. This is why we have an independent regulator. This is why we have a central bank that can carry out investigations like this. They carry out the work and they issue statements in relation to that. And for me to answer or second guess the nature of the work that they do undermines their ability to do it.
Okay, can I ask you then about an issue where maybe you do have some power? Davy is a dealer in Irish government bonds, so the state sends a huge amount of business to the company. Should this be reviewed?
This is a matter that the National Treasury Management Agency, who deal with the sale of government debt, they make decisions in relation to those matters. I mean, just to deal with your inference about power that I have or don't have, The state has exceptional power in this area, including power in the area of investigation. But with that power comes responsibility as well. And when regulators carry out investigations, it is appropriate for me to emphasise the value of their work. It's not appropriate for me to second guess or add to the investigation that they do. To deal with your point then in relation to the National Treasury Management Agency, they will make their decisions in relation to who they deal with. And I've no doubt at all that they'll monitor how this matter develops, but it's up to them to make that decision.
Okay, another large stockbroker, Goodbody, was also in the news yesterday. It's been bought, or I suppose I should say rebought, by AIB, one of the banks we bailed out. Salary and bonus restrictions won't apply to Goodbody staff, even though the company is now owned by AIB. Why not?
Overall, this is a purchase by AIB that I believe is very good for three Irish companies, for Goodbody's, for Fexco and for Allied Irish Bank. What that will mean is that people who are in Goodbody's at the moment will continue to be paid as they have been paid for in the past. People who are in AIB and staying in AIB will continue to be subject to the compensation policy that they are currently subject to. The reason why Goodbody's will not be subject to the pay policy that we have in relation to the banking sector is that when this policy was in place and is in place, it wasn't envisaged by me that it would cover off a stockbroking firm. And in order for this to be a successful purchase overall and therefore good for the Irish economy in the long run, I believe it is appropriate that Goodbody continue to be able to pay their staff as they do today.
So if AIB staff transfer to Goodbody, and you said yesterday that some will they also be able to escape the pay cap?
Anybody who moves from AIB to Goodbody will then be paid as Goodbody employees. And I outlined fully yesterday how this will happen because I want to protect the integrity of our current pay policy and compensation policy in relation to the banking sector. So just to outline what it is, for example, if this transaction is cleared by the regulatory bodies who will oversee it, over this year and next year, approximately 30 people will be able to move from AIB into Goodbody's, and then they will be paid as Goodbody staff.
Is that fair, though?
This is happening for two reasons, and allow me to deal with your question in fairness by explaining why I'm allowing this to happen. Firstly, AIB will want to be running Goodbody's, and they will want people in place who are able to integrate Goodbody's into the AIB business. And secondly, if we were in a situation where I didn't have a way of allowing a very, very small amount of movement, it could create the bizarre situation that people leave AIB to then go and work in Goodbody's, and by doing that, circumvent the pay policy that we have in place. This covers 30 people, potentially over a two-year period. AIB currently have over 9,000 people working for them. And the reason why I believe this is appropriate is, again, I believe this is in the long-term interests of three Irish companies that are important to our economy: AIB, Fexco and Goodbody's.
In relation to the wider banking system, Ulster Bank, as we know, is withdrawing. Bank of Ireland is closing 88 branches. Is the banking system in Ireland now in serious trouble?
Well, it is facing challenges. And the reason why it is facing challenges at the moment, Rachel, is it's going through a period of real change. That change has many, many different reasons. Amongst the key ones, though, are the fact that because interest rates are very, very low at the moment, in turn to help us get out of the economic challenges of COVID-19, it is making it more and more difficult for retail banks to have the kind of level of profit to sustain their current scale. What is really important to me is that we have an Irish banking sector that continues to employ a lot of people and continues to be able to treat its customers fairly and provide the investment and the credit that our country needs.
And can they continue to do that if they're pulling out or closing 88 branches?
The events of recent weeks, Rachel, do remind us of the level of challenge that is there at the moment.
Just one final thing. The latest Exchequer figures published last night show this widening gap between income and spending. Now, reports in Britain, we heard them on the news this morning, say that the Chancellor there may raise taxes. Down the line, might something similar have to happen here?
Well, let's see what the Chancellor of the Exchequer actually announces today in relation to tax raising, which, of course, is a decision for him to take. Down the line, to deal with your question there, overall, I believe that the vast majority of the additional costs that we are accruing at the moment by dealing with COVID-19, we will be able to deal with, because we came into this crisis with our economy very well run, with our national finances in good condition, and we have a very high level of support from the European Central Bank. By getting our country growing again, by getting people back to work, it will deal with a very large amount of the additional costs that we have. If at some point in the future we decide we want a significantly bigger state than we have at the moment, and we want to keep that significantly bigger state in place for longer than it is the case at the moment, the truth is other countries will not pay for that through borrowing that's always made available cheaply to us. And we will need to have a debate at that point regarding how we deal with that cost. But for now, you know, we've hundreds of thousands of people not working in our country at the moment. The priority of the government is to get them back to work. By getting them back to work and by getting our country growing again, it will deal with much of the cost that we have at the moment. And that is where our focus needs to be, and it's where my focus is at the moment.
All right. Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Finance, thank you for joining us this morning.